When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.
Spirit Radio Podcasts.
There's news this week that about 500 couples have been referred for state-funded IVF treatment to date. And this is where a couple is referred to a private clinic and then their IVF is funded by the state. This is a scheme that started last September. But is there a cost-benefit analysis of this? In other words, how successful is it? How much is it costing? And should other types of fertility treatments be included? Because at the moment, it's just IVF treatment. But is that the right road to go then? Is it the most successful and cost effective? Well, I'm going to be talking to our next guest, Dr. Phil Boyle of Neo Fertility. Phil, obviously you do a different type of fertility treatment. It focuses on restorative reproductive medicine. What's your thoughts on that, on obviously the numbers that are being referred, but just about that idea of even a cost benefit analysis? Do we know much about that?
Yeah, we've been trying to engage with the Department of Health on this matter, Wendy. So thanks for giving it the airplay, because it's really important, I think, to get some discussion about this. And from just a pure accountability to the taxpayer, because if public purse is being used for this, the number one, we need transparency and accountability. And the first part of the transparency is, well, what does it cost and what kind of success rate are they getting? And did they go to the market to see, well, could we address this in a more cost-effective way and also in a way that might be more successful? And I would argue, unfortunately, they've disregarded restorative reproductive medicine and they've gone straight for in vitro fertilization. And I'm trying to dialogue with the state on this and show our numbers. So, but unfortunately, it's falling on deaf ears at the moment. And in round figures, if you're looking at the cost per baby for an IVF treatment cycle, if you look at the official state, the official data, you're looking at 20,000 euro per baby born through an IVF cycle, whereas the cost by comparison for restorative reproductive medicine is coming in at just 5,000 euro per baby. So it's like four times more expensive per baby born with IVF treatment compared to using restorative reproductive medicine. So that's a big issue. And my worry is, where's the accountability? In Ireland, we don't have a regulator for IVF. And I think it's imperative for the government to say, okay, we've accounted for this. We treated 500 people. We got how many conceptions do they get? How many live births, how many premature deliveries, how many miscarriages? We need all of that data. It's so important to get that.
It's interesting question as well, Dr. Boyle, because other agencies or other, you know, NGOs, or I'm trying to think of different organisations that get state funding. They have to be accountable. They have to do kind of basic stuff, the cost-benefit analysis stuff that you're kind of talking about, and they have to meet certain criteria and certain standards. So it doesn't seem like that this is happening. I mean, do we know even how does the government decide which clinics they're going to refer to? Because these are private clinics, they're businesses, and you know, how those couples are actually directed.
Yeah, so in terms of transparency and accountability, the government needs to account for that and say, well, I didn't just give it to my friend for whatever reason. Here's why I chose this particular clinic, and they need to be accountable for how they chose the clinics and the success rate. The other thing is that couples, for example, now they are in a minority, but there are couples that ethically and morally, IVF isn't an option for them. So if there's a couple, if state funding is available for people, then those who find that IVF isn't morally acceptable to them, they're not funded by the state to pursue morally acceptable fertility treatment.
Or what about couples that just aren't presented, Dr. Boyle, with the options? Because as you've talked about, you have the we have the data on the number of live births, and that's the key question to ask, live births rather than pregnancy rate per cycle of IVF, depending on the age, obviously, and you have that data for restorative reproductive medicine. But are these couples, or do we know, are they informed of, well, there's these different types of treatments and here's how they work, so that they can make a kind of choice based on, you know, the type of treatment they feel will suit them best? Because anyone who knows anyone who's been through IVF or has done it, it's very invasive. It's particularly difficult on the woman's body. I think ORM works in a different way. But is that information being given to these couples?
No, flat out it's not. So, and in defense of the system that's set up, it appears like they're getting restorative fertility treatment, because the setup of this is there are 6 fertility hubs throughout the country, and at the moment there's pre-fertility treatment for everybody. So the GP refers everybody to these fertility hubs. There's 6 of them scattered throughout the country, and the fertility hub will do all bloods, all ultrasound, all surgery. And then if through the fertility hub they don't help somebody to become pregnant, then they're referred for IVF. So the state provider would say, well, we've done all the restorative treatment through the fertility hubs. So I'm saying, but there's a whole new way of treating fertility that the fertility hubs don't cover, and we're doing that with restorative reproductive medicine. Why don't you give people the option of funding for IVF or funding for restorative reproductive medicine and compare the outcomes? And our data shows that we'll get many more babies for far less cost. And bottom line, for example, I had somebody, they had 5 rounds of IVF. They did 3 rounds with their own eggs. They did 2 rounds with donor eggs. And they came our direction. And she just delivered her 2nd baby recently with restorative reproductive medicine. So she was 8 years of trying. She spent the best part of over €40,000 on IVF cycles, 8 years of trying. But the root cause of her fertility wasn't identified till she came our direction, and now she's had 2 babies with us. So for her, there's no moral ethical issue. She's just saying, well, I want a baby, however it's going to happen.
Yeah, I think a lot of couples might sit there and go, well, which one works better? You know, and yeah, should it be that the state says, okay, this is the amount of funding you can, and here is, and with that kind of accountability piece, looking at different clinics that offer different type of treatments, but that they have to provide the data of, you know, their live birth rate. You know, that's part of, there's accountability from their perspective and your perspective if you were included as well.
Yeah. So very much for the couple's sake, I think that the state really needs to be accountable for this. I think it's absolutely tragic, because the other thing is we're in direct competition with IVF clinics. So our competition, if you like, is being state funded, and we're not, and it's created an uneven playing field. It's going to make it more difficult for me to survive in restorative reproductive medicine because of the way state funding is going to their clinics, and they're disregarding our restorative approach. And the tragedy is, it's couple-friendly. People like what we do. It's more effective. We don't get side effects. We don't get hyperstimulation. We don't have issues with multiple excess embryos. And so there's multiple reasons why people might want to choose a restorative approach, and they're being denied that option.
But the point is, the couple should be able to say, look, here's your options. It's up to you to choose what suits you best and your family. But they're not being given that chance in the first place.
That's exactly it.
Well, yeah. Dr. Boyle, thanks so much. Yes, go ahead, finish.
Yeah, yeah. And then, we'll stand by our data. So it's a real opportunity to say, well, you know, if people are arguing that's being covered already, we're very much saying it's not being covered. And here's one a useful analogy. I think it's like, in medicine, there's always debates about different things. And I say this is like when intervention radiology came along with medicated stents to treat coronary artery disease, that the intervention radiologist said, I don't think you need to crack open the chest and do open heart surgery. You can just put a little stent in instead. And I see us in that type of a bracket. There's an accepted way of doing something that's invasive and difficult and expensive. And we've come up with a less intervention that can give us an equally good result without that kind of trauma or cost.
Well, Dr. Phil Boyle of Neofertility, thanks so much for joining us on the show today. And if you want to connect up with Phil, you can go to their website, which is neofertility.ie.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.